Right. Encourage you, you have taken your 6 o'clock. Happy Easter, everybody. What a beautiful day it is. What a wonderful time we've had together, just celebrating some incredible truths. My name's James, for those of you that don't know me. A lot of you might do, may do. Fortunate ones amongst you. I'm part of the leadership team here at ULove Church. I've been given the task just to talk to you for a few minutes about Easter. Backed by popular demand, though, is the Easter chocolate bingo during the preach. It's like bingo, but it's more churchy. Kids, you should have a sheet with different chocolate logos. Some of you adults might also have a sheet with different chocolate logos. Have you got Susie's handing them out for me? Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to grab them. Right, has everybody got one? Who wants one? Lucy, you don't seem to have one. You don't want one. So today is a day that we celebrate. Today is a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and just all the goodness, all the wonderful truths that brings us. But before we look at the resurrection, we almost have to look at the why. Why did we need Jesus to come to earth? Why did we need Jesus to die on a cross? Why did we need Jesus to raise from the grave? And really, for this, we've got to go right back to the beginning. We have to go back to the very beginning, before time began, before anything was, before the earth was formed, before the galaxies existed. Adam, there are going to be so many of these. You're going to be as hoarse as I am by the end of it. Yeah, before the galaxies existed and Adam interrupted, there God was. You know, in other parts of the Bible, we're told about that God was there in three, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the first book in the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The heavens and the earth, the whole universe, the Milky Way, the planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and all the others. You know, where there was darkness, the sun and the moon and star burst into light. And then he filled this earth with all kinds of plants, fish, birds, and animals. He made literally everything, from every seemingly insignificant blade of grass to the beauty of the roses. From little fizzy fish to the great blue whale, from the ant to the kinder happy hippo, and the lion bar none. He made them all. You know, and then he made us. He made us humans to be his children, to be his friends. And he made us perfect, without blemish and without fault, and it was very good, but sadly it didn't stay that way. Man rebelled against God, against his ways and his teaching, and we sinned. Now, you know, we don't like this word sin very much. It's a small word to describe a really big thing. All the bad stuff we do, say, and think. All this bad stuff, it puts a divide between us and God, and wham, our relationship was broken. We turned from his love, heart, and friendship. And you know what? That break in relationship, it makes sense. We see that in friendships and relationships amongst us. I've got loads of friends in this room, haven't I? I've got acquaintances in this room. But you know, if I do something to hurt one of them, it's going to make that friendship harder. If I keep doing it, eventually, it's going to break it down altogether. But, you know, none of us here are walking around like perfect little miniature heroes. So actually, in our friendships, we can't expect others to uphold a perfect standard, can we? But, you know, actually we kind of do, because there is such a thing as a perfect standard, an objective good. that whisper that we all know and hear when we do or see something that is just wrong. That's our conscience. It's given to us from God, who sets that perfect standard, because God is absolutely, objectively, totally and utterly perfect. So his standards are rightly perfect too when it comes to relationship with us, which leaves us humans with a real problem. Because the Bible says this in a letter to Rome, Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And then later in Romans 6, verse 23, it says, "The wages for sin is death." Get a bit heavy. Because that's the situation that humanity finds itself, the situation that we find ourselves, that I find ourselves in, because of our sin, because of my sin, there is a bounty on my head. A price we have to pay, all of us. James Shireland, Emily, Glen Owen, Toby Narone. Yes, I know. See, all through the Bible, we can read of ways people tried to be good, tried to get right with God in their own ways, in their own works. You know, for a short time, just for a short time, it would look good. But then, like we all do, they'd flake and they'd fail again. Once more pointing to our need for someone to save us. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? At times, I literally feel like I've got it all together. But I can feel like I've got it all together. I'm good, I'm controlled, you know, a momentary boost in my life. And then all of a sudden, almost seemingly sometimes out of nowhere, I fall again. So aware, just so aware of my weaknesses, my anger, my failings, therefore my sin. I know in my heart of hearts that I don't deserve a friendship with a perfect God, because I'm so imperfect. Because I'm so far, and there's just nothing that I can do about it. No matter how good I try to be, no matter how much of a Spartan's pants I am, I just twirl around. I just know it's literally never, ever going to be good enough. It's like I'm constantly jumping up to reach it, but never quite getting hold, just grabbing at air. Desperate. But enter Jesus. Jesus, who we have been singing about this afternoon. Jesus, who we have been lifting high. Jesus, who we have been singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to. Jesus, there at the beginning, before creation, through him, all things were created. He literally came to earth as this teeny tiny little jelly baby. The creator of the universe stepped into his creation to save his creation. He lived the perfect life, the life that we never could. He was tempted in every way, yet unlike me, did not stumble or fall, and was without sin. But it was him who died the sinner's death. Our death. Because he died on the cross. And how can that be? That doesn't make sense. If death, as we read, is the payment for sin, and Jesus was without sin, why is he dying on the cross? Because he wasn't dying for his sin, but he was dying for mine, for yours, for humanity's. We had a debt to pay. Colossians 2 says, God forgave all our sins. Having cancelled our debt, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now it's like he lined up all our sin. Like Skittles at the end of a bowling alley. Every wrong thought, cruel word, selfish ambition, lie, violence, lust, all of it. Jesus lined it up, he took aim, and he swung. And that bowling ball smashed through each and every one of them. That's why Jesus died. That we don't have to. It says in the Bible, when Jesus breathed his last, darkness covered the land. And the huge, great curtain in the temple, which was there really to stop easy access to God, ripped from top to bottom, as if some giant invisible hand just tore right through from top to bottom. Well, this was no form of black magic. No, this was to symbolize our access to God, access for all. You know, if you'd have been there across the hilltops through the darkness, you would have been able to hear the sobbing of his friends and his family because Jesus was dead. The King of the universe, the creator of it all, killed at the hands of those he had created. His body broken, it was taken down from the cross. And as we've heard, he was laid inside a tomb, and for 3 days, all was quiet. Also, all seemed lost. But then, something wonderful happened. See, on the third day after his death, some women, as we have heard today, went to his tomb, and on the way, there was a great earthquake. The ground shook and crunched beneath them, and an angel came and rolled away the great stone that was covering Jesus' tomb. And there they met the risen Jesus. Now, he had taken on sin, he had taken on death, and he had won. You can literally sense the celebrations in heaven, the roar of creation, as their risen king steps out of the darkness and into the light. And like those women, and many others after them who got to meet with the risen Jesus, we can too. Through his Holy Spirit, we can be made alive. We are a total renewing and refresher of our souls so that we can know him. This forgiveness of our sins, an invitation to a relationship with God, is called grace. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what sins have been in your life, doesn't matter how many of those skittles there were at the end of that bowling alley. Jesus smashed them all. The Bible talks about this abundance of grace. It's like a double-decker load flowing over us, and we can just enjoy it and revel in it. All we need to do is believe in him, accept that our debt for our sin and death has been paid, and turn away from those things that pull us down. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You remember that verse at the beginning, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin are death. That's not the whole verse, it doesn't finish it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So really, it's a question of, do you believe that Jesus can set you free from sin, free from guilt, and ultimately free from death? If the answer to that question is yes, then guys, right now that's enough. I know that there are still many questions that may follow. I know this because I have been a Christian almost all of my life, and there are things that I still struggle with. You know, we know the truth of life, and we know that life is not one big picnic. But you know what? The Bible is full of men and women who live real lives, the highs and the lows, who go through life with questions, yet still choose to put their faith in God because they know. They know that he has the answers. Asking God into your life does not mean that you sign away your common sense. It does not mean that you won't still have questions or struggles. But it means that through it all, God is with you. Your relationship with him is restored. And you can live without guilt. And you can live ultimately, you can live without fear. It is actually easy for us to step into this grace and this truth. It's easy because it wasn't easy for Jesus. He did all the work so that we don't have to. And when I was preparing for today, I felt God clearly say to me this phrase that he wanted to change people's names. I don't mean like their actual names. I'm not talking like Open Fruit to Starburst. But he wanted to change the names that have been spoken over people, perhaps by others, or perhaps by themselves. You know, a few weeks ago, we asked some of the youth in our Attic youth group, what's the worst thing you've ever been called? What's the worst thing that's ever been spoken to you? And Susie came home with the answers, and you know, like, literally, it's just heartbreaking. It is heart-wrenching. A lot of them I could not repeat here, because this is a family service. Things like just useless, or fat, or ugly, or liar, or disgusting, or worthless. These are like 12, 13-year-olds with these things already spoken over, hanging over. And I bet there are people here today who need to know, maybe for the first time, that Jesus can change the names that have been spoken over you. Whatever lies that have been spoken over you, whatever things you thought defined you, the things of your past that you've done, your actions, your sin, or the things that you speak over yourself, the cross wipes all that away. It starts again. He takes those things that used to define you, whether it's sin or whether it's lies, and he nails them to the cross. Then he lifts you up and he calls you a chosen child of God. It's ridiculously good news. We're going to listen to a song now by the band. And guys, I'm just going to ask you, whilst we're listening, I'm just going to ask you to ask God to speak to you. The God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of salvation, to speak to you. That you may be here and you may be well used to speaking to God. You might do it every day. Or you may have never done it before in your life, and this feels weird and crazy as. But we'll just encourage you. You can close your eyes, you can keep them open, but in your mind, in your heart, just say, you know what? God of creation. The God we've been singing about, Jesus, who died on the cross, speak to me now. Right now, this is just between you and him, from the very youngest to the very oldest. Just close your eyes and say, God, speak to me now.